Yes, it is that time once again where the festive season continues, or holiday season begins to launch, and obviously we at Southside Broadcasting like to invite some of our regular star contributors and celebrity contributors to obviously share their Christmas message. Earlier in the week, of course, we heard from Angela Rippon, and some very fine words from her. William Sitwell, editor of Waitrose's Food, of course, and Village Critic, gave us some sage thoughts on Thursday, no pun intended. And now, as we actually open up another audio advent card, etc., we're delighted to welcome director extraordinaire, the main man himself, currently the man without whom Holby City and Casualty would simply be just another hospital series of dramas, Graham Harper. How are you, Graham?
Hello, thank you very much.
Good. Fine. But there we are, you see, it's all good stuff. And of course, you were invited to see that grand event that was the, well, I like to refer to the Excel Centre as more of an aircraft hangar as opposed to a kind of a nice sort of environment. I'll hopefully be there myself with the Midweek Drivette team in January when we'll be checking out the London Boat Show, which you're more than cordially invited to come along. I know one of these days we've said we'll get you along to the London Boat Show, Graham. But how did it...
Oh, I would love to come.
Yeah, well, And strangely enough, I think probably the Excel Centre is more suited for the London Boat Show than a Doctor Who event. But how did it go? Did you enjoy the whole experience of all those Who fans in that huge area celebrating 50 years of the series?
I enjoyed that aspect of it. There was a lot of... it was packed. There were a lot of people there who love, obviously, Doctor Who and the series and stuck with it. As for whether I enjoyed it, I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed my part of it, and sitting on in forums and being asked questions and talking, etc. But I didn't see anything. That was down to me. But my day was so full, full on, that I didn't ever really have a chance to go and look at the massive aircraft hangar. Of a place to see all the different events and the shops and whatever. I didn't see any of that. It was so vast. For me, it was too big. I mean, the event's a big one, but it was too big, the venue's too spread out, so I was lost. And I came, was stuck in a room, was amongst a lot of people I knew, which was nice in the social times and the downtime. But I didn't really see the main event. It was a shame. So it was too vast for me, I'm afraid.
So it was literally far too big on the inside.
That's a bit down, isn't it?
No, it was far too big on the outside as opposed to being on the inside. You know?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Like that.
It
sort of transcended dimensions in the reverse. Never mind. It's all
good.
I mean, obviously, clearly wearing one's Lincoln hat, I'm going to say, obviously it was small and perfectly formed, but the piece we actually did as part of Lincoln Inspired earlier in the year with yourself, Terence Dix, of course, and Richard Franklin, I like to feel had its own pleasures as well in that particular area. But there we are.
I think, it was good that the BBC did this big event. It should be proud of Doctor Who. It hasn't always been proud of it. Here, at long last, it's got the credit it was due. But I think your events and all the events around the country were just as valuable. In fact, probably even more so, because you could be in touch really with the fans a bit more closely.
Well, there we have it, and I still can't quite sort of get my head around why we don't have such similar events for Casualty in Holby City. I'm sure they'll be there. I mean, can we not just hire a big hospital? Surely there's going to be one sort of place there, a fan convention there. Just a thought.
And leave some of us there, I should think.
Yeah, exactly. Waris Hussain, of course, who was the director who started the whole series off as the director. He's now in his 70s and still looking extremely sprightly from that point of view. Did you ever meet Waris in terms of your time at the BBC?
No. Well, I did, yes, I actually. Do you know what? I was a runner, I think, when I first started working at the BBC in the 60s, in 66 I joined. He was a well-established star by then, star director. He was doing smashing pieces of work, whereas the others were doing episodes of different series or whatever. He was doing one-off plays and films. He was really on his way. I don't remember the pieces, but I remember meeting him, working on shows with him when I was a call boy, so I was running around getting all the actors in for his shows, as it were, his dramas. I didn't really meet him, though, until really many, many years later. About 5 or 6 years ago, I met him when I was doing Doctor Who again. I was invited to a dinner in which he was one of the other guests, and we sat and talked quite heartily about both our experiences on Doctor Who. Yeah, no, I met him once. I didn't see him at the big event, strange enough.
Oh, well, there we are. Of course, Douglas Campfield, sadly, unable to actually join us, although I'm sure he would have been looking down from on high in terms of the system. He was somebody who certainly was a key influence, I think, in your own directorial style.
I think he would have been really pleased that I'd managed to get where I got, because a lot of that was obviously to do, well, not obvious, but a lot of it, unknown to him, was due to him, because I liked the way he directed. I thought he was a smashing human being. And I think I learned something about how you work with other people without being kind of rude all the time, because there are some very aggressive amongst us throughout the world of directors. You hear some awful stories. But he taught, I just observed a great gentleman who was having fun and enjoyed his work, and I try and do the same. And sometimes it really pays off.
Exactly. And usually I've found that directors who kind of act like utter contemptible human beings, usually they suffer from some kind of personality disorder. But I won't go into that at this particular stage, because we are about to actually...
I've got one of those.
Well, we are actually about to celebrate the 52nd week anniversary of when Graham, yourself and myself, and Ed Wellman and the team, and obviously Phil Nirnes, our ace director over in Los Angeles, and Dean Haglund and company, and Ilana Rain, of course, we saved the planet. It's often sort of... left to one side, but as you know, had we not done that 25-hour Myathon broadcast-a-thon this side of the Atlantic, then we might not have actually been here. So I think, you know, hats off to us for actually doing that. Pat ourselves on the back.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. Not doing anything quite as exciting as that this time around, but we are getting Christmas messages in all sorts of ways. Before we come on to that, I know how much you appreciate the joys of council speak and various other things. And according to Private Eye this week, the most ghastly council speak neologism of the week comes from Birmingham City Council. They've actually, in a report to local district committees, advocated something called channel shift nudging. I'll say that again, channel shift nudging. This is apparently getting to people to complain about things online instead of on the phone. So that's channel shift nudging. Yes, interesting from that point of view. Curiously enough, that doesn't seem to be impacting on my own local council, who I have actually complained online about a particular incident, etc. Haven't even had an acknowledgement, and I'm now waiting a month later. But there we are. That's by the by. You know,
I'm astounded you've not had a response.
Yeah, well, exactly. We'll take it up to the Ombudsman and continue on from that sort of point of view onwards. But anyway, I can't go into that for reasons which, I don't know when I write the memoir, if I ever do, we'll get that sorted through. What, on a more positive note, is going to be your Christmas thought, Christmas message, seasonal message, holiday message, Graham, for the listeners, both online to our podcasts, globally around the world, listening, as I say, via cable at present, within the James Cook University Hospital, indeed, to... Did I actually note the fact, you may not actually, but Siren FM is officially, according to the Radio Academy, it's been awarded in 2013 East Midlands Radio Station of the Year.
Oh, that's absolutely fabulous.
Mm. Exactly.
That's really fabulous. Well done. Congratulations.
I put it all down to your contributions, Graham, basically. That's the sort of thing that when the Radio Academy were actually looking through the whole thing, they said, of course, it does mean we're in the running to become the National Station of the Year, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. But we are at least East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. So
that's a huge, accolade. Really, really well done and well deserved.
Well, Graham, as you know, we like to focus on content, and obviously that's what Andrew David focuses on, that's what I focus on, as you know, with both Siren, with both Southside, etc. And sometimes, you know, you keep going at the whole thing and you realise maybe there is more to radio than just constant sort of tunes, commercials and banal DJs. But never mind, there we are. other stations are available, and one of these days we'll actually... In fact, speaking of which, I will give a little name check to Dave Milling, who you may remember was the police officer who effectively attempted to kidnap you.
Yes.
in mid-flight last year, when we were in the midst of the marathon, etc. Dave has approached me with a view to doing a semi-regular science fiction-themed monthly programme or thereabouts on Siren, and I'm sort of... I think we might do something about it, so we might sort of hear something different.
You're right to do that.
Do you think so? Right. Okay.
Yes, then. Because there's a huge fandom for science fiction that people in this country don't seem to understand.
Well,
they are dying for the food of science fiction. So the more you can give, the better it will be.
Nourishment. That's what it's all about. Nourishment and science. Anyway, enough of such stuff. 'Tis time now to formally launch your official Christmas festive message to the globe and the universe. Graham, what would you like to say?
Well, I would like to say that I wish everybody a fantastic Christmas period of nice, peaceful time. I hope there's some lovely stuff to watch on television. I'm sure there are great movies to go and see once the festivities are really over, the central main day, the 25th. I just wish and hope that we will get some... I can't understand, for example, Syria and how there's not much comment anymore. It's not front page news anymore. And it is. It has to stop. We have to understand. We cannot go on and on and on and on treating people the way we do in some of these countries and sometimes here. And we really have to have some fantastic thoughts over Christmas and wish and pray that there's some common sense and we can start having a much more peaceful time all over the world, not just in little pockets, everywhere.
There we are, you see.
I want to own that recording. That's mine.
That's right, exactly.
I'm talking not about what I said. I mean about what you just pressed the button and made up.
No, we don't press buttons. That was a natural, spontaneous group of people who'd actually staggered into the studio. They're out now, basically. It's all right.
I've been there, everyone.
Oh,
I know.
That's true. Yeah, it does happen.
Oh, it's lovely. Thank you very much.
Interesting line in terms of if you were celebrating Christmas or indeed the holiday season in Tajikistan. That's Tajikistan. The Central Asian country of Tajikistan has banned New Year's celebrations from television screens. Government channels will also not show snowmen, the holiday tree, or Father Frost, since these subjects do not bear a direct relationship to Tajik national traditions. So there we are. If you fancy, I don't know, with Bernadette, you might fancy getting on a quick flight and hopping over to the Central Asian country of Tajikistan. But just bear in mind that if you had any sort of holiday tree items or indeed Father Frost are out upon your person, you'd probably actually be sent back in disgrace, which would be an outrage. But there we are. That's the sort of line as far as
Tajikistan is concerned. Isn't that appalling?
Well, apparently since United Soviet Socialist Republic, or the USSR, kind of collapsed, Father Frost and other elements of the Slavic New Year's celebration became a tradition for the Tajik people. But in recent years, Tajiks who have studied Islam in Arab countries, including adherents of the Wahhabi movement, have spoken out against such traditions. Actually on a serious front, in 2012, a 24-year-old who was dressed as Father Frost and his helper, the Snow Maiden, etc., he was actually stabbed to death by a crowd who were yelling, "You're an infidel." So, again, I think something they need to listen to your Christmas message, basically, from that point of view. Because clearly the New Year's feast in Tajikistan, now mostly Muslim, will clearly have challenges with the New Year's celebrations. There's no mention, of course, as to whether they've actually banned the official Hogmanay Eye celebration, and indeed whether Donald Wears Your Trousers will still actually be played in Tajikistan. So I think we're okay as far as that's concerned.
I'm speechless.
There we are. And finally, from Christmas news, a provocative outdoor Christmas tree in Milan was too naughty for city officials, who ordered it to be denuded of its red sex toys. Who would put sex toys on a Christmas tree? The Italians, obviously. Norma Rossetti, who runs a sex toy website, complied, but she defended the tree of pleasure, saying the decorations were elegant. Well, there we are. That's an interesting sort of line and take for that. Are you going to be in France over the holiday period, Graham, or in case you'll still sort of be based in the joys of London?
No, we're staying in London.
Oh, right.
I'm going to stay here in England for Christmas. Mainly, I've got some time off, as I think most of us seem to have over Christmas, but we decided we wanted to stay here. Mm.
Very good. Excellent. And
that's a downer, isn't it?
it's good because you can also say you're doing your bit to reduce the carbon footprint, which is essential from that point of view. And also taken from this week's Private Eye magazine from their Dumb Britain column in a series called Pressure Pad, John Barrowman, a man, of course, whom you've worked with, Graham, in his role as Captain Jack and Torchwood and all the rest of the bits and pieces. But certainly in Doctor Who, you have been responsible for directing the man that is John Barrowman. And his question to the contestant was as follows: name a football team that has city or town in its title. The contestant's reply: Manchester United. Great. If I was John, I'd just give up at that moment. You think, why? It's just ridiculous. Graham, have you had any reasonably interesting telephonic festive link with us on the station today? Has it been okay for yourself?
I absolutely have, yeah.
Good. So just the two of us, but then again, you know, we've worked our way through that in all sorts of ways. So I take it that in 2014, we could look forward to welcoming you back in full force and resuming your mantle as a regular contributor to both the Midweek Drive, Midweek Drive Morning Editions, and indeed other stations, events and Southside Broadcasting. And one of these days, getting that Graham Harper show off and running.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That would be fun. I'll do it with you.
There we are. You see, there we are. Graham Harper will return. Hurrah. Hurrah. I think, oh, yeah. So, now, go away. Go away now. Go away. Yes, go, please. Right. Yeah, enough. Enough. I don't know.
Are they gone? I think so.
Coming up next, we've got Alan Stevens, who's going to be sharing his thoughts on the whole thing. Alan Stevens, who actually gave the Doctor Who anniversary special 10 out of 10. So, really high marks there from a gentleman who actually thought that the companion piece, which of course, oh yeah, that is another question actually. Bear in mind An Adventure in Space and Time. Did you actually see that aspect of the dramatisation of the first ever work on Doctor Who with the work of Verity Lambert and Waris Hussain?
I watched it. I thought it was, for me, I thought that was the highlight of the whole thing. For me, that summed up the 50th anniversary. It was a brilliant piece of work, and I thought it was really interesting and probably very close to the truth of what actually happened.
See, that's interesting, because Alan had issues with it.
Alexis, I apologise for interrupting you. I mean, showing the hard problems and difficulties they had to get that show on the, off the ground, and the, how successful it was. Sorry, that's what I meant.
No, it's just, I think Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore were both somewhat critical for a couple of reasons. Well, actually more than a couple, but first of all, there was a suggestion that actually Patrick Troughton was a midget when compared with William Hartnell, and actually they were pretty much the same size.
I think they were.
Exactly. And secondly, that there was no mention about of Paddy Russell, a well-known female director who was also around at the BBC at the time when obviously it was deemed that Verity was the sole sort of soul who was actually there. So I think there were a number of sort of issues there. Plus, of course, Alan did point out, do you think Verity Lambert would really have actually signed William Hartnell on for the case if she thought he was already down with Alzheimer's when he actually got the part? I don't think so. But, you know, it's an interesting line there. So,
She would have been worried. Yeah.
But still, life continues. That's the important thing. And An Adventure of Space and Time, from your perspective, was better than the other. And that's what we like about the whole thing. It celebrates always. I'm looking at the anniversary celebration at Buckingham Palace here. Did you get an invitation to the 18th of November celebration at the invitation of the Countess of Wessex, Graham?
I did, and unfortunately I couldn't make it because I was indisposed.
Well, that's okay. I thought you would have done, but it was interesting in terms of that 50th years. But it was nice to see Tom Baker in the finale, though, I thought. Yeah.
I lied then because I was not invited, and I'm not surprised either.
I'm just reading from the current edition of Doctor Who Monthly, which also gives you, in fact, a sensational pull-out scenario. It's actually given you all 800 episodes. Well, actually, coming up to the 800, so images from all 800 shows, including, let me see here, Nightmare of Eden, Creatures of the Pit, 531, looking for Caves of Androzani, which I'm sure is around here somewhere along the base. Fascinating stuff here. City of Dirt, Logopolis, Time Flight, Ark of Infinity. Let's move along here. Snake Dance, Mordian Undead, Terminus, no, onto the other side. Caves of Androzani, effectively the 622nd adventure for Doctor Who, actually.
Gosh, was it really?
Yes, it was. Well, although according to this, actually, because you start off part one, that was adventure number 619, all the way through to 622. So there we are. And if you want to go even further, the Dalek adventure that came up with Colin Baker and Perry later for yourself, Revelation of the Daleks part one, Revelation of the Daleks part two, that was adventure 638 and 639. There might be people who would say get a life at that particular moment in time, but never mind. It's important. Anyway, the point being that, yes, the sort of magazine itself, Doctor Who Monthly, carries a notion of the stars of Doctor Who attending a royal celebration to celebrate 50 years of the series at Buckingham Palace on the 18th of November at the invitation of the Countess of Wessex. Don't worry, Graham, we're still actually setting the campaign going so that hopefully sometime in 2014 it will be Arise, Sir Graham Harper.
I don't think so.
We just step aside from some of the spitting image, some of the kind of Windsor, House of Windsor material, and all will be well, I'm sure. You know, it's all good.
Yes, unfortunately, I think those two programmes will make sure that I never get any understanding
not,
from Buckingham.
Not while I'm still on the case, Graham. Graham,
thank you very much.
Take care and see you in the new year.
Thank you. Happy Christmas to everybody. Bye-bye.